Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Injustice Investigations. I'm Al Scott. We have a breaking news story for you. The Ohio killer, Steve Stevens, was involved in a brief pursuit in Erie County, Pennsylvania. Shortly after, he pulled over and authorities said he committed suicide. Again, Steve Stevenson, 37 years old, is dead after a brief pursuit in Erie County, Pennsylvania. And Robert, you're going to bring us up to date because this happened, I think, about 30 or 40 minutes ago, and you have all the details, right?
Yeah, it actually happened a while, I think a couple of hours ago. Let me pull up that story. How y'all doing this afternoon?
Hey, Robert. We're good.
We're good.
The latest that I have, and let me see, this is coming from Fox 8. I guess it's a local affiliated Fox channel, and it was over 2 hours ago. So there's probably a little bit more up-to-date information, but this is what I've been able to gather lately from it. And I'm going to go ahead and just paraphrase this article a little bit. And, again, this is from Erie, Pennsylvania. The first Facebook murderer suspect, Steven Stevens, he was found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound up there in Erie, Pennsylvania. The police are saying they have closure regards, you know, to the search for Mayor Steven Stevens. That's what the mayor of Erie is saying. Also, you have the chief of police in Erie, Pennsylvania, Sam Williams, just after 11 a.m., Pennsylvania State Police received a tip that Stevens was in a vehicle seen in a McDonald's parking lot near Erie, Pennsylvania. Troopers in a marked car initiated a pursuit. So I guess they got into a high-speed pursuit. And when they cornered him, I guess he took his own life, you know, according to what this article is saying. Patrol trooper was not able to stop in time and slid into Stephen's vehicle. There was no injury to law enforcement or members of the public. Also, you had tweets come out by the Pennsylvania State Police. One of the tweets said, Stephen was spotted this morning by PSP members in Erie County. After brief pursuit, Stephen shot himself. That tweet was released at 10:46 a.m. today. The governor of Pennsylvania saying thank you to the brave police officers and troopers for their vigilance in pursuing the Facebook killer. Thankful no one was hurt. And again, my question is, you know, they spent a lot of time trying to find this dude, and they wound up finding him in Erie, Pennsylvania. And, I mean, it was a lot of diligence on behalf of law enforcement to, you know, to find this dude. We hate that the tragedy happened. You know, that this elderly man lost his life. And in a sense, I'm going to be real, kind of hate that this man, you know, took it to a level where he had to lose his life as well as taking other people's lives. Because, again, on that video, he claimed that he had killed up to 15 people. But that's the latest that we have on that. I'm pretty sure there's plenty more updated, but nothing else is going to tell you anything different than the facts that I just mentioned. So.
Right. Okay. Robert, thanks for that update. It is a sad situation on both ends, especially with I think the victim's name is Robert Goodwin.
Robert Goodwin Sr. Mm-hmm.
Okay, he was 74 years old.
Yeah, 74 years old.
Yes, 10 kids.
Just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Okay. Yeah, 10
kids and 14 grandkids.
Okay, Yvette, they had 10 kids and 14 grandkids. Good Lord Jesus. He was a veteran. Right,
uh-huh.
Robert?
Yeah, he was a veteran. I mean, actually, he 74 years old. He's seen a lot of things. He survived through Jim Crow. He survived Vietnam. He survived through Korea. He survived through the crack epidemic. He survived a lot of things, and it's a shame, a tragic shame, that somebody who, you know, I guess you could say served his country valiantly, somebody who was a family man that survived all those things, got took out in such a senseless and tragic manner, man. I mean, really, it's sad. It's shocking. Really, it's despicable. I'm going to just keep it real. It was despicable way this man who gave so much had to be, you know, be taken out of here like that.
Right. Before we go any further, let us offer our sincere condolences to both families, because it's a loss on on both ends and stuff.
And two of his daughters this morning said that they had already forgiven him.
Correct.
I don't know that I could do that so quickly. I'm sure I could eventually, but to say that you've forgiven him, what, 2 days later?
2 days later.
That says a lot about them.
I have to agree with Yvette on that, because for me, if I would forgive, it would probably be some years, you know. I just up and said that, you know, I forgive him. He's killed my dad and my grandfather. And I understand that, you know, we have to forgive, because forgiving is not necessary for that person. It heals you as well. But I just couldn't do it in this short of a period. I just couldn't.
And then, too, that also goes, again, is a testimony to him, because he raised children who have such a forgiving nature. So that, again, is another testimony to his character and him being a true father. Because, again, I'm like you all. I could forgive you for what you did, but I ain't finna forget it. And, you know, I mean, there would be no mourning in my household, at the outcome or the way this ended. It would be no mourning at all, you know.
Well, and it seems like I'm somewhat lost for words today. Really, I am, because it's still kind of puzzling to me, especially how Mr. Goodwin came to lose his life. I remember I was sitting at the table eating, and Robert called, and you told me what had happened. And so then we looked and we pulled it up, and it was unbelievable. And we, for a brief time, we shared the actual video, but we thought about it and realized that wasn't the thing for us to do, and we apologized to the family for that, and so we immediately took it down from our post, you know. But
I think it just, like I said earlier, I wish the news media would stop streaming it, because to me, it I don't want to say glorifies, but it gives what he was looking for. He's going to be forever, you know, connected to that. It's just like, remember Dylan Roof, the guy that killed the people in the church
uh-huh.
in North Carolina? And I,
uh-huh.
me personally, I'm like, I'm not going to acknowledge his name, and I just did. But I'm like, I'm not, because that's giving him fame. And some reporters started doing, they just called him the killer, or they would not acknowledge him. Because it's giving him,
yeah.
you know, that's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. He don't care about those people.
Exactly.
He wants to die.
Exactly, and you just hit a good point, Yvette, because that's if you look at Facebook, Facebook is a medium for people who I'm gonna just use you, who have no life, to create a fake reality and gain attention, and that's part of why we're seeing this rise in these type of events on social media. It's people looking for attention. And if you look at the one video where he was basically, Steven Stevenson was giving his reasons doing what he did, he had mentioned that none of his fraternity brothers, and nobody would answer his calls. Nobody was paying him any attention. The woman whom he loved wasn't paying him any attention. So he went to Facebook and he got his attention, but it was in the wrong way. So that's part of the problem. Facebook is allowing people to gain attention through that media, which could be a good thing. But as you see with the rise and all these crimes being committed on Facebook, you know what I'm saying? It's a bad way to get attention. Because again, Robert Goodwin, yeah, Mr. Goodwin, he had to suffer because this man wanted some attention.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's just getting crazy, because remember the story, I don't know the details, so I'm not going to go into it, but remember the girl that got raped a couple of months ago on Facebook, and they videotaped and they live streamed.
Exactly.
And I'm like, the people that were doing it, that's bad enough, but people were watching it.
Right.
People were watching
yeah.
it, and they
said
nothing.
They said nothing.
They said nothing.
And
yeah,
you know what?
The police had to beg them to say something. And they still
right.
haven't
and
solved that case.
No, and that's a great point that Yvette just brought up, because it makes you wonder what frame of mind are those people in when they sit and are entertained by things
exactly.
like this and don't call the police.
Exactly. Like the people,
yeah.
what's the little guy that got, the disabled guy that was beaten on Facebook, remember?
Oh, the little white guy by the
mm-hmm.
Black.
Yeah, Black,
right. And
hey.
People sat there and watched that.
Right, right.
I'm like,
yeah.
what kind of mindset do you have that's entertaining you instead of calling the police?
Exactly, because I think one of the perpetrator's sister was talking to him through the live stream about what they were doing when she should have been calling
the
authorities.
Like,
and
really?
She didn't,
yeah.
you know. And so it my thing is, what makes you commit a crime and you want to live stream it? I mean, what are you looking for? It has to be more than just 5 minutes of fame, you know. But when you're sitting there watching it, and I know it's impossible to find out who's really watching it, but you become part of the problem then to me, because you're standing there and you're watching it, you're filming it, and you're not calling the authorities, you know, about what's going on. But it seems to be, it has become an epidemic to where something is live streamed at least 5 or 6 times a week, probably more than that. We just don't know about all of them. You know, we had I think he was a 14-year-old boy a couple of weeks ago. I might be wrong about his age, but accidentally he killed himself.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff. So.
It was on Instagram. He was using Instagram.
Okay. And he shot himself, correct?
Accidentally shot himself on Instagram while live streaming.
So, I know we have a lot to talk about here today. Facebook let this issue, this tape, stay up for about 3 hours before they took it down. So, Robert, Yvette, anybody know why it took them so long to pull the video?
They're talking about it. I don't know if they've addressed it, because yesterday a representative or somebody from Facebook, a woman, and she wouldn't answer that question. So Mark, what's his name, Zuckerberg.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to have a news conference. I don't know if it's today
mm-hmm.
or if it was, I don't know, but he's supposed to address that.
Okay, but now.
Well, go ahead.
Here's my thing. And we was discussing this before we came on air. I did a video one time and was using a Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, in the background, and posted to Facebook. And less than a minute, they sent me a message. We just removed that video because we don't believe you had the right to use that song. So you know exactly what's going on in real time. So if you can
mm-hmm.
move this immediately, what about the killings and the murder, suicides, and all the sex videos and stuff? Why you can't just instantly do that?
Well, I reported on Snap. Hang on.
Hold up,
go ahead,
Yvette.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
This was last year, and I was on Facebook, and I don't know what happened, but you know how sometimes when people comment on certain things, I'll go and look at the person who made the comment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went to this person's page. His profile picture was of a penis.
Oh, God.
And if you go to the side, you know how you can look at his pictures.
Right.
Oh, no, I'm like, I know that's not what I saw. He's on there masturbating.
In a video?
In the video, on Facebook. So what I did was, first of all, yeah, I was wrong. I texted a friend of mine. I was like, do you see what I'm seeing? She saw it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Within 5 minutes, I reported it. They snatched it down.
So,
if
you hadn't reported it, it probably would have stayed up a little
yeah,
longer.
And how long had it been on there before?
Exactly. Okay. Okay, Robert.
Well, this is what it is, and this, you know, coming from me, someone who's off into the IT field, somebody who deals with computers every day, these videos are like viruses. Now, Facebook can move instantaneously to remove something off of their site. But once something goes into cyberspace, it is never eradicated completely at all. All it has to do is be put in cyberspace, and one person downloads it. Facebook can move it, but as long as that person has it downloaded in a device, a PC, it's going to be shared over and over. So basically what happens is Facebook is basically having to hire extra people to spot this video and take it down every time that they see it, which right now we know that two-thirds of America has seen this video, and maybe one-eighth of America has downloaded the video. So this video will never disappear. It will never disappear. So that's what it is. It's just like a virus, you know, just like the common cold. One person gets it, he spreads it to others. So all it takes is for one person to download that video to their personal collection, and he can share it outside of Facebook, and two or three years later, somebody come right back and put it right back on Facebook. So this is really what the problem is. Once something hits cyberspace, it's out there forever. You can never totally eradicate it. But I want to give y'all a definition as to what's really going on, because you hit a good point, Alfonso, when you said what goes through the mind of a person that sits here and watch stuff like this, and what makes people do stuff like this. And the word is desensitized. Now, the definition of desensitized is to make someone less likely to feel shock or distress at scenes of cruelty, violence, or suffering by overexposure to such images. Basically meaning that the more you watch this violent type of stuff, the less and less you get outraged by it. And in reality, it's the opposite. The more violent the material now has to be before you are satisfied in it. Basically, it's like a drug. It started off with these fight videos on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? People, they were sharing these fight videos. People have gotten so used to that. So, you know, it's so everyday and so mundane. Now people have to have something with 10 times more of the shock value in their videos. So that's why people are turning on to these death videos. And the more and more violent it is, the more and more of a rush these people get. But at the same time, the more they keep watching this, now the next time it's going to take something even more drastic or extreme than seeing Mr. Goodwin being murdered. It's going to take something, you know, actually somebody getting their head cut off or getting dismembered to satisfy their bloodlust. Basically, what we're seeing is a replay of the Roman Empire and, you know, empires throughout history, where, again, with the Romans used to go into the Colosseum and literally cheer at lions and other animals tearing people apart. They used to cheer at people being burnt alive at the stake. Only difference is today we don't have the Colosseum. We don't have to go to a stadium or anything like that. We can sit right back in our homes and watch it on Facebook. We can go to the movie theaters and watch it. So this is what's happening. People have become so desensitized that something like this is a shock today to everybody. But just wait, 3 months later, that's going to be one of the most tamest things that people are seeing. It's going to be something else that has to be even more violent for it to go viral now. You know, put it like this. Somebody getting shot in the head right now is not going to go viral at like this video is, because it's going to take something even more drastic than that 2 to 3 months from now for it to actually hit the viral level.
Right. I agree with you. And you're making me think about what Mr. Goodwin's daughter said when she saw the video, that she could see the fear in his eyes. And when I read that, I stopped. You know, because you know your dad. And you look at him and...
nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see that. And you watch him get killed, and then but you see the fear in his eyes, and if that wasn't disturbing enough, when Stevenson and then it was driving in his car, he said, "I'm going to kill this guy right here." I mean, as if he was saying, "I'm going to stop at Circle K and get a cup of coffee."
Yeah, and just randomly picked him up.
And so the guy is walking, and wherever he's going, and
he just left the Easter celebration with his family.
Okay, yeah. The Easter celebration with his family, and so he had intentions on. Was he picking up cans or something? Or just walking.
That's what he was doing. He was going around. He was picking up aluminum cans, which, you know, is a normal thing for people to do.
Right. Okay. So here's my thing. I have intentions on doing whatever, but then let's just use the word, a diabolical, disturbed individual says otherwise. So in your car, it's not like you're on drugs or anything, because you're talking in a calm tone, like you're going to go play basketball or something. I'm going to kill this guy.
Yeah, he wasn't crazy. I don't believe he was crazy. Because if he knew enough to say he snapped,
right,
then he knew enough to pick up the phone. Because he was talking to somebody. He called somebody. He was talking to somebody.
Okay.
If you knew enough, I don't know if he called that person or the person called him.
He called the police. He called 911. He did.
Okay, well, he knew enough to do that. Then he was in his right mind when he did.
Right.
So I'm not buying it. He was college educated. He was in a fraternity. He was a counselor, just something like that.
He was a mental health counselor.
So what? He had the resources.
Whoa.
So
also, but if you look at the video where he was giving his rant, he was in enough of his right mind to tell his boss, "Well, I ain't gonna be able to work tomorrow." You see what I'm saying? So you see what I'm saying? So he was in his right mind. He was just distraught over the situation. And briefly, I'm gonna jump on this. You have a lot of black people, I mean, as ridiculous as it sounds, trying to tie this to white supremacy. And I'm like, come on, man, how can you tie this to white supremacy? This dude was in his right mind, and he just snapped. Now, in order for him to snap, that means he was thinking rationally at one point. At some point, he stopped thinking rationally and let his anger take over. So, I mean, I don't buy that he was mentally ill, because, again, he was a mental illness counselor. They said that he passed his background check, and there was nothing in his behavior to warn them that something like this might happen. So, you know, we have a lot of stories. Go ahead.
Right. Let me ask you and Yvette this question. Both can answer it, if you can, one or the other. How does the girlfriend tie into the killing? Because supposedly, I guess they were having problems from the way he saw it. But from what she said, their relationship was good.
I thought she had broken up.
They had a good relationship.
I don't know. I don't know if it was payback or because he ask the guy that he killed?
Robert.
He asked him. He brought her up, her name up.
Right.
And he says, I don't know her. I don't know her.
Yeah.
But he wanted to forever associate her name with that killer. But it's not working. I don't hear her name often. I hear him.
But he made the Mr. Goodwin said the girl's name.
Exactly. So he wanted to forever tie her to that.
Okay.
And he told Mr. Goodwin, he said, "You don't know, but this is the reason why you're about to die. She the reason that you about to die."
Mm-hmm. Okay,
those were his exact words. She's the reason that you about to die.
Okay, so now I'm kind of getting a clear understanding, or at least what I'm thinking, you know, is clear, that it wasn't necessary, if this makes any sense, to inflict pain upon him, but he did. It's really to try and make the ex-girlfriend suffer for life, knowing that what he did was because of her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that makes no earthly sense, but I know this is that. Anybody does anything. Nobody just to build up to the point for when you do snap. But there are warning signs before a person does anything. But if you don't know what to look for, then I think you would miss those signs every day.
Mm-hmm.
Robert, what do you say?
Well, I mean, I'm going to just be real, keeping it real. It's not
mm-hmm.
my responsibility to counsel you in a sense because your girlfriend broke up with you. I mean, now, there's people who are professionals who get paid for that. But in the video, he basically was saying that he was having problems with his girl. He was mad
mm-hmm.
at his fraternity brothers because they weren't answering his phone calls. Nobody was, you know what I'm saying, nobody was listening to him. So, again, he wanted attention. That's what it all boils down to. But, again, at the same time, who knows what's going through a person's mind, man? You know, one day they're fine and dandy, then something like this happens, you know, they snap. Now, think about it, man. I know you, Alfonso, probably have been dumped by a girlfriend, rejected by family and friends. I myself have. But it didn't make me want to go out and kill nobody. At what point does the individual have to be held accountable for his actions?
Look,
you know?
Let me ask you this. Okay, Rob, let me ask you this. Why you didn't say Yvette's been rejected by guys and family members?
Well, not Yvette. As beautiful as she is.
And see, I know you was going to say because she's pretty. I mean, okay, well, Halle Berry's pretty, but she's a nut. Certified
yeah.
and everything.
And she's been rejected. Yeah.
Janet Jackson can't keep a man.
Because she's a nervous wreck. I think Janet Jackson and Halle Berry should go ahead and hook up because they cannot keep men. So maybe if they hook up to each other and try Cymbalta because Cymbalta can help.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because she Janet Jackson just divorced her husband. Got almost $500 million in that divorce.
Exactly, you know.
That was planned. But
it was exactly. It was planned. She knew exactly what she was doing because she waited to the 5-year period. But anyway, that's a whole different story. Let's get back. Again,
only you.
It's not a. Yeah.
She planned that. I'm gonna get $500 million. I'm gonna get that
after 5 years.
Yeah.
It was all about business because she had in a prenuptial agreement. After so many years, she would get this. After so many more years, she would get this. She waited to exactly after 5 years when she was able
and
to benefit
baby.
From $500 million and divorce that dude, man.
And get a baby out of the deal.
Yeah.
She did
yeah.
it. Did it.
Okay.
Yeah.
To the killing.
back to the story we go.
Listen, and I know a lot of people probably – not going to agree with me when I said this here, but I don't think that Stevenson was a mental patient. You know, I know he's been called everything with the name on his birth certificate. There was a lady on your page last night, Robert, who I think she said he was crazy along with some other things, but I'm a firm believer that a person does not have to be crazy to attempt suicide, commit suicide, kill others. Sometimes I think you're just overwhelmed by the troubles of this world. And I think in many ways, especially from what you just said, Robert, about him calling out to the fraternity brothers, the brother knew some things he was trying out, but nobody was really paying him any attention. And especially with you being a counselor dealing with mental patients, so to say, we know if anybody knows how to deal with this, it should be you.
Yeah. Why didn't he go to the place where he worked at as a mental counselor and talk to them about it? You know what I'm saying? I'm a firm believer. I'm going to just keep it real. You don't attempt suicide. You attempt to get attention by acting as if you want to commit suicide. Because if you want to commit suicide, you're going to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
This guy who was in the mental health field, I don't know if he was a janitor at the place where he worked at, but he knew about resources. There was no excuse for him, you know, to not be able to reach out into somebody and talk to them. There was no excuse, man. You know, I can't say too much because I don't know all the details, but I do know one thing. There was no excuse for him to take the life of Mr. Goodman, plain and simple, just because Joy Love didn't love you anymore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, get over it, dog. Get over it. There's a million women on the face of the planet. So you're telling me a person had to die because one woman rejected you. You know, I mean, it's crazy.
What? I don't mean any harm. Why not kill her?
Exactly. Because he wanted her to live with the pain of what he did. I mean, actually, he hurt her worse by allowing her to live and have to suffer for the rest of her life with the death of this old man and his death on her hands. She's going to forever feel that it was her fault. She's going to forever she herself now is going to have a mental issue. If anybody's going to have a mental issue, she is, because now she's going to forever, perpetually be a victim.
Wow. And I guess that would be the case to leave you on the planet and let you suffer and feel some of the pain that I was feeling because we were no longer together.
But normally when that happens, even in the movies, and I know I'm talking about movies, and it's happened in real life, they go after the family members.
Right.
Why select somebody randomly? It's really going to affect her. You got a sister. You got somebody that would have, you know, this man had nothing, no ties to the family whatsoever. You just randomly chose this guy, so that tells me you did it. You're not crazy. You did it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You did it on purpose.
Yeah.
You thought it out. You did. I'm not buying it.
Because it would make more sense if it was someone she had emotional ties
with. Exactly.
You know, and you're right. In movies, they say, okay, well, if you leave me, I'm gonna kill your mother, your dad, or your kid,
exactly,
or whatever. You know, so
who kills random people?
And he did it so calmly, you know, and he got back in the car so calmly, you know.
And he videotaped it. So his ass was not crazy. He's not crazy. He knew what he was doing. I don't want to say it was premeditated, maybe so, but he knew what he was doing after the fact. He knew what he was doing while he was doing it. Because if you ask Alfonso, I say, how do you kill somebody and then hold videotape it at the same time?
Exactly.
How do you do that?
Exactly.
Matter of fact, he had to have two phones. Think about this. I ain't going to go too deep, but some ain't right, because he's talking to somebody on one phone, and think about it, he's live streaming this on another phone.
Mm-hmm. And then you got to hold a gun. What'd you do, prop the phone up? How you did it? I'm not understanding.
So he had two phones.
Yeah, he had to have two phones. One, if you look at the video where he was doing his rant and he was talking to his boys on the phone, he's on the phone. Now, he can't be recording himself with the phone up to his ear. So that means he had to have a second phone to be recording himself while he's talking live.
I don't know. I'm somewhat lost on that.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Because I'm thinking it was
now,
just...
Think about it. In order to stream live on Facebook, I do it all the time. I just did one to promote this show. That means I have to have the device that I'm streaming live on in front of me. Now, when you go back and look at that video, he has a phone up to his ear. Now, if your phone is up to your ear, there's no way your camera can get a full frontal shot of you. You see what I'm saying? Which is it makes it simple. He had to have had two phones, which means that he was deliberately plotting this, which takes away a little bit more from that mental illness argument, because this is something that he calculated and cold-hearted deliberately done. He had to have had two phones for this to happen, for him to put that video where he did the rant.
Okay, when you said plotted, so we're talking premeditated, correct?
It was premeditated. It was premeditated because in that conversation he was saying that somebody was going to die. Remember, he said that he had already killed almost 13, 14 people in his video rant. Now, of course, I remember there was three videos that he recorded, at least three videos that he recorded live and streamed them live on Facebook. The one, only one of those videos showed where he killed Mr. Goodman, but the other two, he was on his little tirade, his little rant about what was going on, why he was doing this, his people, I mean, when nobody listened to him or whatever. But again, as you look at the fact that he was doing these live stream videos while he was holding a phone to his ear, that lets you know that he was deliberately, he had enough sense enough to know how to operate Facebook live stream and talk on the phone at the same time.
Okay, so do you think this is something he had planned for weeks, for days, or just the night before or early in the day he says, I'm going to do blah, 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 blah. Your personal opinion.
Now, that's something I can't really, it'd only be conjecture and speculation. I think that this was, maybe he had been trying to call her for a couple of days and call his people, but when nobody would answer his phone because they probably got tired, man, I'm tired of hearing this Negro here talk this crazy crap. I'm not going to even answer the phone. So after a couple of days, the frustration and rage in him probably built up to the point where that day there he just said, F it, and snapped. Somebody finna, they going to hear me now. So I wouldn't say that it was a spur-of-the-moment thing. It had to be a build-up of rage and anger to make him go out and do something like that. Whereas he probably thought, since nobody else won't hear me, Joy won't answer the phone, my brothers won't answer the phone, my frat people, they didn't turn their back on me, I'm going to make the whole world hear me. And he did. He made the whole world hear him by going out and killing this man live on Facebook.
I'm still saying that somewhere down the line he's been screaming out for help, but no one knew what the red flags were, so they missed it, or maybe some knew and some didn't care. I don't know. But not to condone any violence, but to go back to what Yvette said, if I'm going to do something to try and inflict some pain upon you because we're no longer together, or you're trying to leave me, if I kill someone that you never heard of, if your heart is good, it's going to be some pain there. But
yeah.
If I kill someone that's close to you, like your mother, your father, your children, your brothers, your sisters, somebody in your family that I know you love, then I know when I leave here, I got you. And this could probably mess you up for the rest of your life. You even said it, Robert, a while ago, that she's probably going to need counseling now herself to deal with this. But I'm lost as to why pick a perfectly stranger. Why pick a stranger? Why? How does that benefit him?
It doesn't. I mean, Wait a minute. Say that again, because I was looking at the a story that I was wanting to highlight on this, and
okay.
I really didn't. I apologize. I really didn't catch the whole gist of what you were saying.
You didn't.
No, because
okay.
I'm looking at this story that's talking about all these the rise in all these live stream
right.
Violent assaults. Because again, this story is talking about you had over. 3-4 rapes, you've had at least 5-6 murders, all this over in just the first 4 months of this year, live streamed on Facebook. But, I mean, I apologize for not paying attention, but I really wanted to highlight that. So, you know,
but no,
you can go ahead and say it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Basically, I was just asking the question, why pick a stranger? Why? I mean, I can't get the dots connected on this one. That's basically what I'm saying. Because again, not to condone violence, but it seems like he would have, if he really wanted to inflict some pain upon his ex-girlfriend, it would be with a family member.
It's easier to kill a stranger than someone you really know. I mean, there's no emotional ties from Steve Stevenson to Mr. Goodwin. There's no emotional tie, so it would have been a little bit harder for him to pull that trigger on someone in his family or someone in her family or even a friend. You know, there's a lot of psychology involved in that.
Okay, but he snapped.
He snapped. And if he was trying to hurt her, I'm not condoning violence. You know, most people, most stories that I've seen, true life stories, they go after the family members. That man in Texas, he killed, the ex-wife, her mother, and a 7 or 12-year-old son?
Mm-hmm.
He did it.
Right, right.
To get back at the woman.
Well, then that would prove. Go ahead, Yvette.
I'm just not buying the snap part. I'm not buying it.
I was just going to say that would disprove the mental illness part because, again, if he snapped, he would have went after someone close to her, but he had to coolly, deliberately plot his path. Meaning, again, he knew that, you know, he probably wasn't thinking this exact thing, but it would have been harder for him to pull the trigger on somebody whom he had a close emotional tie to. So he felt a little bit better by taking it out on a total stranger. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, the psychology in it, we will never understand because, of course, now he's dead. So there's questions that we will never get answered in this, but, you know, psychologically, you can understand. Go ahead.
I wonder why he didn't videotape up until his suicide.
She
I don't know.
Why? Go ahead.
I don't know because
post-manifesto why he did it, mm-hmm. and he could have said what was going on, and this is what I'm going to do. Because I figured he was going to kill himself initially anyway. I knew that was going on. I figured they'd find him dead.
Well,
I didn't figure it would be a change.
Yeah, I thought the exact same thing, that he's going to kill himself. They're not going to get a chance to do it. They're going to find him. He's going to be in a car dead somewhere. You know, I knew he was going to shoot himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So that's what I was thinking,
it was going to be a shootout. My, you know me, I'm thinking that them police going to deal with it, you know. But either way it go, we will never know the fullness of the story.
Right. So why, you know, Yvette's asking, okay, if you videotape one killing, why not videotape the other?
Yeah, because he said one video, he said that he killed over 13, 14, 15 people, you know, but
okay,
only showed one.
Okay, why not video your suicide?
Good point, you know. Incidentally, it's important to make note that the police have yet to confirm any of those killings. And
he didn't do that.
I don't think he did either. We've shared all the stories on Injustice Investigations Facebook page as well as the real news behind the news that's Robert show there. So all of what we're talking about can be found on our Facebook page, Injustice Investigations. But my thing is that it has to be something that Facebook can do to stop these videos being recorded. I mean, just as quickly as you can delete a post that's not suitable to you, I think you should be able to do the same thing. But when they live stream and they're, you know, they're killing themselves or doing whatever, because you can immediately remove a post that has a song in it, and you know, you say, well, I don't know if you have, if this might be copyright infringement, so you can't do this. So I'm sure it's some feature that Facebook can come up with.
Yeah, because if they can delete somebody saying something against y'all's president, they can delete that.
Exactly. You know, maybe stop videos, period. You know, I don't know, but if you got Facebook, you have, what's the other one? Instagram.
Mm-hmm. YouTube
and stuff.
Snapchat, all of that.
Yeah, all that, you know. So it has to be something that can be done, but I'm still lost as to why it took Facebook 3 hours to remove the video. And in an hour's time, I mean, it you could get a million or so hits on it, you know. And so not to mention 3 hours of, you know, being on Facebook, but when Robert called me and got the video and I looked at it, I'm gonna be honest. I thought it was a joke. I just couldn't believe it.
Well, then too, you have to look at it from Facebook's point of view. Did they really know if this was something staged or it was a hoax or nothing? And maybe they didn't really understand what was going on until actually law enforcement put out the alert, hey, this dude here dead. I mean, I'm not just trying to justify Facebook. We never know what's really going on. Like I say, there's going to be a lot of unanswered questions because, again, by him depriving the Goodwin family of justice by killing himself, he's also deprived the world of answers as to what really happened. You know,
because again, we know there are warning signs. I'm baffled as to why the way he works. They didn't pick up on the signs, but with him being a counselor in that field, surely he knew how to hide the warning signs, right?
And that, yeah.
Yeah.
And then if he snapped, there probably weren't any warning signs. You know. If he just snapped, because like Yvette, so correctly mentioned, there's a difference between being, sick in your head, depressed and all that, than just snapping. You know, when you snap, you allow emotions and adrenaline and all that in the moment of the situation to overwhelm you. So there probably wasn't any warning signs. And then, too, maybe there could have been warning signs, the reason why she left him. So, again, by him killing himself, we will never, ever begin to even come close to putting the pieces to this puzzle together because when he died, he took almost a third of the puzzle pieces with him.
Exactly. Exactly, you know. And something could be going on now, live streaming with a killing or some other crime being committed. But I don't think Facebook can give a legitimate answer as to why it took the video stayed up for 3 hours. I'm sure when the police found this guy, they knew it had been live streamed. And when they see things like that, I know for a fact they immediately contact Facebook. But I think someone from Facebook, do not quote on this, I think they said that there was some technical issues or something. I think that's what they said, that they couldn't get it down. You know,
3 hours
worth of technical issues, you know. So now I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that, you know. But
in that one article that I was telling you about, the reason why I had got distracted, it's saying that Facebook page, you know, it was removed. His Facebook page was instantly removed once they realized what was going on. But it's saying that Facebook has a bunch of people right now, you know, pretty much on a 24-hour basis, trying to keep that video from coming back up on his page, you know.
Right.
Again, we don't know why initially it was allowed to be there so long, but again, I mean, there's nothing Facebook is going to be able to do because, again, this video will be showed. You know how you see some of these shocking videos on Facebook and you think it's recent, but it's been from 5-6 years ago. That's because, again, once you download something, once something is uploaded to the internet, it is there forever. It will never be completely eradicated because I can come back 5 years from now. If I have it downloaded into my personal computer, I can put it right back up on Facebook. So, you know,
yeah,
I'm going to be real.
Yeah.
Facebook is
ahead,
part
Robert.
Of the problem, but go ahead. No, you go ahead.
A friend of mine, who's a police officer, her daughter wanted to be a police officer as well. And so she applied for, to be a police officer. Well, a video popped up, well, several videos popped up of her having sex. You know, with a boyfriend, and so that killed it for her. You know, because you know she let him film them having sex, and but she didn't know that he was going to eventually upload the videos to YouTube and Facebook. You know, and so and she said they had asked him to take it down from his page, and surprisingly he did, but. Here's my thing. That doesn't mean anything. He has removed it from his page. If he was just talking about You don't know how many times it's been downloaded, how many times it's been shared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the thing is still out there, you know. So, you know, sometimes we have to be careful with what we're doing, especially when we're being videotaped, because once it gets out there, you know, and it's shared, I mean, it's gone, and then you got your video apps where you can download videos, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so it's still out there and stuff, you know. But it's an issue that I'm sure Facebook, they're going to be meeting a lot on what can they do to stop these disturbing videos from coming about. And I also have a problem, this is just me, with people when they're filming someone getting beat up or someone getting killed or someone is being raped. I have a problem with you watching it. I have a problem with you filming it, and I think you should be held accountable for standing there filming a criminal act, you know. So I don't know what goes on in a person's mind when certain things like that is entertainment for them. It's kind of like what you were saying earlier, back, you know, with dealing with the Romans and stuff, what was entertaining for them.
Yeah. Well, you got to look. Last year, you had a couple of teenagers to commit suicide because their parents felt the need to discipline them live. Well, at that time, Facebook Live wasn't really that big. But these parents disciplined their children and uploaded it to Facebook and YouTube, embarrassing these children so much to the point that these children committed suicide. So, again, a lot of it boils down to the society that we live in, man. We live in a twisted society where violence has become a way of norm, and now being entertained by violence is just as addictive as crack cocaine or heroin, you know.
Exactly.
But before we go, and I do this under the Fair Use Act, this article from WGNO, an ABC affiliate, they gave a Facebook statement as to what went on Sunday. Now, under the Fair Use Act, I'm going to read what Facebook, what this article has to say about Facebook. Since its launch, Live has provided an unedited look at police shootings and rape. I'm going to go on because I don't want to read it. Okay, it says, copies of the video have circulated on Facebook, Twitter, and other sites. Again, going back to the point that we touched upon, once that video is out there, it's not just on Facebook now. It's on Twitter. It's on YouTube. It could be on Instagram because somebody downloaded. Now, on Sunday afternoon, Facebook said in a statement, this is a horrific crime, and we do not allow this kind of content on Facebook. We work hard to keep a safe environment on Facebook and are in touch with law enforcement in emergencies when they are direct to threat threats to public safety. But guess what? Facebook, I mean, by the time you get in touch with law enforcement, the crime is already committed because you allowed it to go live on your site. So, you know, Facebook has to come up with some way to be more to be preemptive in stopping this, but at the same time, we know the problem now. In this last few minutes, let's talk about solutions. And I believe the first step in any solution is we have to start with ourselves. You hit a good point, Alfonso. What kind of person would actually sit back, watch this video, and get such a thrill out of it that you would share it with other people? Because, again, you and I have come to make the decision that we will not share the actual video where he did the shooting, because it's not appropriate, you know. So at what point do we as individuals see something like this and get so repulsed that we say, well, nah, we're not going to share this, man, you know, because, like, again, when I saw the video, man, I felt guilty. I felt dirty by even looking at it, you know.
Exactly.
And excuse me. There's no way I was going to share the video. But, again, you have a generation of people now who are turned on by this type of violence, you know. So – it starts with us monitoring ourselves. What do we find appropriate and what do we find as entertaining? Do you find a 74-year-old man being shot point-blank range in the face for something he had no idea of what was going on? Do you find that entertaining? If that is the case, then the problem ain't Facebook. The problem ain't nothing. The problem is you, because you have a twisted sense of reality and a real screwed up sense of humor, if you find that entertaining.
Right. You know, as I always say, when there's violence in the mind, there will be violence on the streets. You can look for that. But we have to know the warning signs, because I believe before anyone does anything that there are warning signs. But again, if we don't know what to look for, we're always going to miss them. And I'm sure he had some warning signs that, you know, and people just overlooked them. You know, he may have even said he was going to do something one day, but sometimes you just don't take people serious, you know. But you don't know all that's going on inside of an individual's head, especially when, there's a breakup, you know. But then after the breakup, you know, some people you realize, well, hell, I see why they don't want to be with you, because you're deranged, you know.
Yeah.
Take responsibility for that. But the media, like Facebook, the social, you know, networks, but the media, I think they go overboard. I think we talk too much. They show too much. TV shows, Law and Order. I see when things happen, there's a story. And then on those shows, the same thing happens. And people get, you know, people watch these shows and they get ideas.
Exactly.
And they start doing stupid stuff. But the media talks too much. When something gets blown up or they go into detail. They don't go all to details, but they'll say, well, you know, to make this bomb, it's this, and that. Well, all somebody has to do is put two and two together and put the pieces together. We talk too damn much.
Exactly.
We talk too much. The media, they show too much. These countries, and they see things happening, and then they watch the news, like this fool is in the White House. Yeah, I said it, this fool is in the White House. And the stuff that he says and the things that he does, it sets people off, and they're watching us with a laughing stock.
Exactly.
We are, and they watch and they see the foolishness that goes on, and we talk too much. The media, they talk too much.
And that's something that I have to agree with, you know, because we know what's good for the public and what's not good for the public, you know. We know some things that we share could create someone to become a copycat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so some things we just shouldn't show, regardless to how much attention we're going to get, you know. So we should stop worrying about ratings and start thinking about people, you know, because that video that was constantly shared is a problem to the family,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
the grandson.
Right.
He's already said he wanted it not to be shown.
And it's sad, but when you sit there and you share it and you watch it, so we need to talk with you too, because something is wrong inside of your mind when you find a real life killing or a rape entertaining, you know. And so we need to.
Has y'all president addressed it?
My president is named Barack Obama, and so. He hadn't said anything that I...
Now,
that I
President Trump is too busy sending battleships over there in the South China Sea right now. So he probably cared the fact that another black man took the life of another black man. I'm not making an accusation, but I'm just keeping it real, you know?
Listen, this is part one. We're doing a series on this, 1, 2, and 3 and stuff, and on our next show we'll look at warning signs before a person does things such as this. But before we go off air, let me just say this, that everybody is somebody's child, and all of us have more days behind us than we do in front of us. So it is time that we love each other as if it's our last day on earth, because one day it's going to be someone's last day, and we may not know when that is, and then we'll be left with memories and a lot of regrets. We got less than 30 seconds. Robert, and I'm Lady Vet, have the last words.
Well, my last word would be check yourself. You know, my sympathy and my condolences go out to the Goodwin family and even to the Stevens family, because this tragic accident has taken the lives of two people. Now you have countless of people left to grieve behind it.
All right.
Condolences to the family. Thank you guys for listening.
Robert.
Yes, sir.